guide, lead, and direct in the services tonight. Thank you for those that came out on a midweek service. Lord, just pray that you'd give each one of them the blessing that you would have them to have. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. I want you to go ahead and be seated and then turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, I told you I wanted to teach and preach on repentance. There are those out there that say that repentance is a work and therefore you shouldn't mention it in relation to salvation. That simply isn't the case. I mean, you know, you just can't make something up because you can't understand it. It's very clear in your Bible that repentance is something necessary for salvation. It isn't a work. It is simply a change of mind. We'll get into that, but I want to read the scripture first in Acts chapter 20. We were in verse 21. He said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So evidently, Paul understands the gospel, the grace of God, and he's testifying that gospel when he mentions in verse 20, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to teach tonight. I think it's important because we've actually had people in the church here that said repentance is a work. Nobody that's here now, but it, you know, it's just a shame because I was never told to repent when I got saved. I don't think any one of you was told to repent when you got saved because it's just not a common terminology you use when you're dealing with somebody. However, I told you this the other day. If you came up to me and you said, well, I believe I got to be baptized or I won't go to heaven. I have to be baptized to be saved. I would tell you if I use that terminology, you better repent. You better change your mind because you can't trust in that baptism, work, and trust in Christ, or there is no salvation. It's faith alone through the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ, and that's all that'll save you. So we're going to look at repentance, and it's in the Bible 100 times, so it seems like it's a pretty important doctrine. It's a change of mind that affects the individual. You see, if it doesn't affect you, it's not true repentance. Well, then people say, well, wait a minute. You're saying that we've got to work because repentance creates the work. Well, that's not true. Repentance is a change of mind, but that change of mind, if I go, well, I'm driving down the road and I change my mind, I got to go the other way. If I don't go the other way, did I really change my mind? You see what I mean? In other words, we see the outward action and say, well, that's repentance. Repentance isn't me turning around. Repentance is the act before that, simply the change of mind. So keep that in mind as we look at it. Thomas Adams once said, repentance is a change of mind and regeneration is the change of the man. So keep that in mind. Repentance versus regeneration. Regeneration is salvation. Repentance is the change of mind. Reformation is good, so you reform yourself. However, a man who turns from sin without turning to God has simply reformed his life without regeneration. So I want you, you know, you say, well, I got to tell people to repent of all their sins. Well, what does that mean? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. Unless it's something like I need to get them to understand what sin is all about. If you don't understand sin, you should repent of that ignorance. Sin is what put Jesus on the cross. Sin is why he had to die for you. Sin is, and if you don't know any of that, you're going to have a hard time understanding why you need Jesus. So, you would have to repent of that ignorance, really. Repentance is more of an attitude or a condition of the heart. In order for repentance to bring a change of life, repentance must lead the individual to conversion. So if your repentance doesn't lead you to conversion, it's not godly repentance. It's just a worldly repentance. You come to Christ unconditionally. That's it. You have a desire to have your sin problem solved by God. And by the way, even though we're in Acts, I'm actually teaching from my Freedom's Ring book because I have a whole chapter entitled Repentance. And I'm going to just gloss over quite a bit of it. But when you turn from some falsehood that's keeping you from fully trusting in Christ, that's what repentance is. What must a person do to be saved? Well, Acts 16 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A lost person must repent of any other answer in belief. If it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Well, I think you've got to add repent from that. Well, I think you've got to repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what repentance does. Repentance, A.W. Tozer said, the idea that God will pardon a rebel that has not given up his rebellion is contrary to Scripture and common sense. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So if you're rebellious and you say, well, I just got to ask Jesus to come into my heart. No, that's not how it works. You have to repent and understand what sin is in order to be saved. Let's see. Let me give you four aspects of repentance, and we'll get into some scripture here in a little bit. Repentance is a realization of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The Bible says that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. That's Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. I tell you what, go ahead and turn there. Genesis chapter 6, and starting in verse 5. Now, this is important because this is the first mention of repentance. Verse 5 in Genesis 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made man. Did God destroy all men? He repented of that idea. He found Noah. So God says, I'm going to destroy everything. I will destroy man from whom I created the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. Did he destroy it? No, he repented from that idea. So repentance is a realization of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Number two, repentance is a change of mind and heart attitude which leads to a change of actions. So the situation in the world repented the Lord and it grieved him at his heart. He therefore determined to destroy man. The Lord changed his mind about making man. That's what the change of mind was. This change of mind resulted in a change of actions, the flood. The lost sinner can repent of sin but has no power apart from the indwelling Spirit following salvation to put into action his newfound understanding. So you can look at sin and go, I'm not going to sin anymore. You have no power not to do that. So people say, well, you're saying repent from sin, turn from sin, you know, create a new heart. You have no ability to do that apart from salvation. Don't get the cart before the horse. Repentance changes your mind about sin, changes your mind about salvation, and then that repentance leads you to salvation. Repentance, number three, repentance is accompanied by a sorrow for sin. Repentance is not the sorrow, but it's generally accompanied by it. Again, you say, well, you're telling them to repent, they got to be sorry. Repentance is not the sorrow in and of itself. And the Bible says it grieved him at his heart. Why was he grieved in his heart? Because of the repentance. Job is a good example in Job 42. Job said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job understood who he was. Number four, and the last one I'm going to look at right here, repentance is a turning to God that can be identified by its consequences. The fruit of repentance, a change of action, repentance is not the change of action in and of itself. Now, you got to get that, because if I'm telling you, somebody comes up to me and says, "Well, I believe repentance is the work," I'm going to say, "Well, if you'll go back to January 11th, 2023 and listen to Repentance 101, that's the title of this message. There's probably going to be a 102 or a 201 next, one more message on it. That's where I give my position. That's where I give what I believe is the biblical position. My position doesn't matter. If I don't have Bible to back it up, then it's just my opinion. What I'm saying, I don't think this is my opinion. I believe this is what the Bible teaches. So, exceeding sinfulness of sin. That's the first one. Repentance constitutes the ABCs of salvation. Hence, a person never ceases to need repentance even after he's trusted the Lord as his Savior. You should repent all your life. All your life you should have repentance. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. When the Word of God's truly preached, it will give the hearer a knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin will show the individual his sinful condition, and it will bring conviction. Romans 3, verse 20. Romans 3:20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." You know what the law does for you? It shows that you're a sinner. "Thou shalt not lie," bear false witness. "Thou shalt not steal." "Thou shalt not covet." All of those things. Look at Romans chapter 7. All these things deal with the law and what it does for you. The law was our schoolmaster to do what? To bring us unto Christ. The law showed... We sang Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. I think that was number 90 in the songbook. These songs... 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace... my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. So again, you know, that grace is the belief. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. You understand, there's saving grace and then there's living grace. Grace doesn't stop when you get saved. It is a continual thing throughout your days. And then, even the first one, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, and now I see. It's amazing how many people sing that song that, you know, they're not saved. I mean, a wretch like me. You know, they've tried to change that word, because it's detrimental to your psychological health to think that you're a wretch. No. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul wrote. So I don't think we did Romans 7. Look at Romans 7:7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." So, you wouldn't understand that covetousness and lust is a sin if it weren't for what the law tells you. Romans 7:13. "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." You see, if the lost fail to appreciate the true nature of sin, they'll fail to grasp why Christ had to die for their sin. You don't understand why Jesus had to die if you don't understand sin. It talks in John 16 about the Comforter. I'll skip that for right now. The second one I mentioned was it's a change of mind. It's not an act that you perform. Repentance is not the act of trying to stop sinning. Period. When God tells people to repent, He is not commanding them to do something absolutely impossible. God says, repent, and the person goes, oh, you're trying to tell me not to sin anymore. That isn't what it means. I mean, that would be an impossible... And God says it. God says, repent. If repentance were more than a change of mind, then God would be requiring the impossible out of a lost person, and even a saved person, for that matter. Now, we're in Romans again. So go to Romans 3. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 11. There's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without sin, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So if you have to straighten up your life, you're no longer ungodly. He died for the ungodly. Verse 8, He died for sinners. Verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you while you were a sinner. Verse 10, He died for you while you were His enemy. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So right there it says, when we were without strength, when we were yet sinners, when we were enemies, He died for us. So you can't get any of that into repentance and go, well, you're saying you got to repent from all your sin. That means you got to turn from all of it. No, that is not what the Bible says. And that's not what anybody really teaches that understands anything about repentance in the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 18 this time. For I know that in me, this is Paul writing, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So what's in your flesh? Anything good? Nothing good. Romans 14, 23. Look at Romans 14. The Bible says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat not, verse 23, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Again, you just, people that misteach repentance, try to get the cart before the horse. Repentance is a change of mind. If you have anything that you believe that is wrong that will be detrimental to your salvation and actually hinder it, stop it, you must repent of that belief. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So if repentance is a work, then a lost person would be bringing forth good fruit. Repentance is a change of mind. That's just, it's just the way it is. And then, if you look at Matthew 21, this, I think, settles it much more clearly on the two acts, repenting and going. So in Matthew 21, verse 28, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented. What does that mean? He said, I'm not going to go, and then he repented. What does that mean? Does that mean he went, or does that mean he changed his mind? He changed his mind. How do you know? What's the next two words? And went. So now wait a minute. If repentance is a work, then it would have said, and he went and he went. If repentance is going, he goed and he went, It doesn't work. So when you're reading your Bible, you ought to look at that. Now, if you want to know, Matthew 21, verse, 29 maybe. He repented and he went and he came to the second and he said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Basically, he repented and went the wrong way. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, thus saith And they say unto him, the first, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. Repentance precedes belief. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. What's it take to get saved? Belief. Trust in the Lord. What did that? That's Philippian. That's the Philippian jailer. So the Philippian jailer threw him in the prison, put him in the stocks, treated him like dirt, could care less about him, heard him singing, heard him praising, heard him preaching, and then the earthquake happened. He's going to kill himself. They said, no, don't. Everybody's here. He comes in and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why didn't he ask that when he put him in the stocks? When he put him in there and he's locking him up, he goes, hey, what do I got to do to be saved? Because he didn't believe. He didn't trust. He wasn't interested. And then what happened? He heard the gospel. He repented. And then he believed. Because he said, well, what do I got to do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? You've already repented of your unbelief. And now all you got to do is believe. That's all it is. You've repented of your rejection of the Lord. Maybe that's a better way to put it in that case. Repentance is a surrender of the will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? I told you the story when I was in the barracks, and Eddie and I were visiting in the barracks when you were allowed to do that. That's funny, really, because neither one of us were in the military anymore. We were able to go on the base and go and knock on the barracks door and talk to people. And the guy said, you mean I can just pray that prayer and keep doing what I'm doing? I didn't know what to say. I looked at Eddie. Eddie was a new Christian too, and I was like, you know, what do you say to that? The answer is no. He's got to repent of that thought. Oh, this is just a prayer I say, and then I just, you know, really doesn't, you know, then I'm going to be saved. Well, that's a false teaching. That's why I don't tell people to teach children, especially, to pray and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Why? Because who doesn't want Jesus to come into their heart? What child doesn't want to obey the authority and say, Jesus, come into my heart? Well, wait a minute. What does that mean? That's the result of salvation, not the prayer of faith, unless it's the prayer of faith. Now, let me explain that. If a child says, come into my heart, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, are they saved? The words are just the outward profession of a change that's gone inside. But what about the child that doesn't understand that and just says the prayer? That's where we have the problem. That's why I think it's very important to be careful how you deal with children on that level. So, look at Mark 6. Mark 6. Verse 6. Here's that we're in a state of unbelief. Mark 6:6. And he marveled because of their unbelief and went around the villages teaching. So that's Mark 6:6. Now look at verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. What do they have to repent of? Their unbelief. Can't not believe. That's a double negative. You must believe. So if you're in a state of unbelief, what do you got to do? You've got to repent and have a change of mind and accept the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is talking about Esau. Esau sought repentance from his father Isaac. And in verse 16... the Bible says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He was trying to get a change of mind that would culminate in a change decision to act or followed by the act itself from his father, from Isaac. But Isaac did not repent, and his actions did not change. So again, it's just important to understand that, because, you know, what you don't want in a church is division. So if somebody comes in here and, you know, we fellowship with them and everything's really great, great people, and then they start getting hold of your ear and they go, you know, I heard the preacher say you need to repent. You know that's a work, right? You know that he's teaching work salvation. You should be able, you don't have to come to the preacher. You should be able to say, that's not true. I may not have all the scripture in front of me, but I know that what I saw in the Bible showed me that it is not a work. And if you try to teach that in the church, I think you're going to have a problem, because it's a false doctrine. So biblical repentance involves a change of mind, culminates in a change of decision. Now, the second one I looked at, it's accompanied by sorrow for sin. And I'll have you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to quote to you Psalm 34:18. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." A contrite spirit is filled with remorse. I just don't believe. I've been in churches where, you know, they tell you all the numbers of people that were saved and, of course, baptized. And all they're doing is leading people or tricking people into a prayer. And why do you do that? Well, because you want to have the numbers. And then the church really doesn't grow, because they're running people through a treadmill. And then they're, you know, so again, there's a change in the person. When they repent and they get saved, there's a change. When they repent, they change their mind. When they get saved, they have regeneration. The regeneration has got to bring a change in their life. You cannot get regenerated by God Almighty and not be different than what you were before salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I told you to go there. And verse 10, the Bible says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation." Remember the contrite spirit. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. This passage teaches about four truths I want to give you. Number one, a person saved only one time. Godly sorrow is not to be repented of again. Two, this godly sorrow that works repentance to salvation cannot be repeated. Once you're saved, that's it. Three, repentance is not merely sorrow for sin, since the verse mentions two kinds of sorrow. And number four, many people weep over sin without repentance, as evidenced by their returning to the same sin, just like Esau. Now, turn to Acts chapter 20, and I want to go, because we started out with this verse, and I want to end with this verse about turning to God. Verse 21, Acts 20:21. He says, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." You're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. You're saved by faith in Christ. You have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, he says, at the end of that verse, he says, "And I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The gospel, the grace of God, is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You can look at Judas Iscariot. And he repented of himself, but he didn't turn to God. So repentance is of no value unless the repentance turns a person to God. Because then it's not godly repentance if it doesn't result in an outcome. If you have unbelief and you repent and you don't have belief, you didn't have godly repentance. You didn't repent at all. One more verse I want you to look at, and that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Repentance is of no value unless the repentance turns a person to God. Verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So now you have repentance is a change of mind. If somebody is serving idols and trusting in those idols, they've got to repent of that. You can't trust in the idols and then bring God along and just add God as another God, add Jesus as another God, add salvation as another mode along with everything else you have. You've got to repent of all of that and trust in Christ. And that's it. Again, repentance is just a change of mind. So that's all I'm going to give you tonight. In other words, it's encapsulated, but I want to give you that much, and I just want you to mull it over. It is an important doctrine that's been taught wrong, and it's generally not. I would say the majority of Bible believers believe in repentance. Some of them just don't understand it quite as scripturally as they should. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. We just pray for your will to be done. We thank you for the teaching that comes from Scripture. We just pray, Lord, that you would apply it to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.